And I thought, what's the point? Are you glad to be here this morning? And then you're going to be here. It's not important. So we've been talking lately about faith. And I wanted to go one more week on this. We have something I'm super excited about what's coming. We are going to, in the start of June, do basically a 7-month-long series. So, it's a series full of themes. We are going to start in June and do Bible stories leading up to the birth of Christ. So that'll be fun. These are things that we can all know about, but we don't all know the names of Bible stories, and so we're going to filter through a lot of them, not all of them, but the ones that help lead up to the birth of Christ. And then after the birth of Christ, we're going to continue through the New Testament and the life of Christ until his death, the early resurrection, Easter, and then a couple after that. So it'll almost be a full year that we're going to travel through as quickly. This is the first time I've ever done it, so I'm excited about it because it's going to be fun for me. And so just be praying that God will use the Old Testament, the New Testament, the birth, the death, all of that stuff to really impact you, to fortify your faith, because really that's what this whole life is all about. It's about our faith. And so we've been talking about the importance of our faith, of understanding what faith is and how we can get it, and understand all the implications that that is. And today I want to talk about why. Why is faith important? Now, I'm not going to cover all the reasons why faith is important because there's more than one. I'm going to concentrate on a specific one because our faith is important because people are watching. It is important that we live this life and we don't keep it just for ourselves and make it just our own little personal thing and nobody else gets to see. Our faith should be exercised out loud. Why? Because people can be influenced by how we live our lives. And so, just a quick recap, just so you know where we're at, because we haven't been here or missed a couple of weeks, we've been off to college and have no clue what's going on. Just kidding. Welcome back, Ashley. Faith in or on Jesus is the key to a relationship with God. We firmly believe, there's now this case, that the only way to have a relationship with God is to trust His Son, the death, burial, and resurrection of His life, as a payment for our sins. And when we place our faith on that, make Him Lord of our life, then that relationship with God starts, and it doesn't start and end with that decision. It starts and will end when we see Him face to face. We have a lot of work to do from now until then, but it begins with trusting on Jesus. And then lastly, we talk about how we can evidence our faith. How can we know? Is it possible to even know? And we talk about five different things that, yeah, it's possible to know what's going on in our lives by different aspects of what's going on. So salvation is evidence. Simply by living your life. That's the number one rule. If you're not living obedient to Scripture, then I will challenge the idea of do you really mean what you say you mean when you call Jesus Lord? Because if we really love Him the way that we say we love Him, we will obey Him. And so it is changing from what we used to be to what He wants us to be. And again, sometimes that's instantaneous in certain aspects of our life, but a lot of times it is not. A lot of times we will tackle something, get that under our belt, think it's finally done, something else comes up. He reveals something else that maybe we had locked away a long time ago that we never thought we'd have to deal with, or we didn't want to deal with, and He says, today is time, let's deal with it. And so again, this is a journey. It's step by step, day by day, breath by breath, moment by moment sometimes. But it's an ongoing journey. It's not like I have to pray the prayer and I'm done. I pray the prayer and I start this walk. And I begin to change into the man or woman that God wants me to be. Now, I know many of you are thinking, okay, well, today's Mother's Day. Where is the Mother's Day going to be? Take time, that's probably just coming. But today, here's what I want to talk about. And it really does tie into Mother's Day extremely well. That active faith, meaning we're doing it out loud in front of people, not being obnoxious and ridiculous about it, but exercising it, living it out. Active faith is influential faith. It's influential. You think about the people at your workplace that know you're a believer, that you live a little bit differently. Who did they come to when they were following in their life? You. Or when there's a problem at work, they go to the person that they know has it somewhat together or has something that's driving them, and they go to you. Why? Because you're actively living your faith in front of them. You don't quality anymore. But active faith is influential faith. And so, of course, today is Mother's Day, so I thought I'd play with the word mother for a moment before we really get into it. M stands for mentor. My mom has been a great mentor to me. She's been a great challenge to me, but a great encouragement to me. And so, they're just mentors. That's what moms do. And maybe you didn't have a very good mom, but you had a mother in your life or a mother figure, a woman in your life that was substituted for your mom, and she's been a great influence in your life. Because that's what they do. They're just built that way. They're fantastic that way. Moms, women have that natural mentor ability. Oh, now before you laugh and get all upset, you're opinionated. Why? Because moms get asked the most ridiculous questions, and they have to have opinions on it in order to encourage their kids. And then, that's not an ethical thing, but look at this. You got your opinionated. Just wait till Father's Day. Right? This is not a horrible thing. In fact, I would be sad if I looked at my mom and she didn't have an opinion. Because I've based a lot of my decisions, or used to base a lot of my decisions on her opinion. Not too much anymore. I listen to her opinion, and then I make decisions. And so, opinions are important. And then trainer. She's a great trainer. She taught me how to love church. She taught me how to be kind to people. She taught me how to live life in such a way in spite of different circumstances around her. She's a trainer. That's what they do. She's also a helper. And I can't even tell you how many times I've been to her, especially the teenagers and young adults, to ask for help. Even now, even with my children, sometimes I ask for help because I need her help. That's the reason she lives up here a lot. She's a huge help to us. A huge help to us. She's an encourager. I can't even tell you. I really can't talk about this one because my emotions are way out of whack and I want to get through the sermon, but I don't. I have lots of encouragements in my life, and I'm not sure I have one that isn't hurt. So, we'll leave it there. Generally, she's right. Usually, a mother is always right. Amen, ladies? You can amen that out loud. You got to say them. That's it? Man, I thought I was right. Yeah! We're always right. At least Sally is. Sally's always right, man. That's it. Come on, man. Anyway, that's what it. I wanted to share that, but the sermon goes deeper than just that. Because in Scripture, we find mother figures that embody all of those letters. Figures that have great influence on their children at the beginning, through the middle, and even to the end. And I think it's important today that we honor those ladies in our life that held that mother position or a mother-like position and say thank you. Because their faith maybe what got you to where you are. Or maybe today that didn't happen for you, but today you can make the decision to say, that's the type of mom I'm going to be. That's the type of mom that I want to be. And because of my faith, through Christ, I can be that mother that God created me to be. Now, I recognize right up front, for some of you, today is probably one of the toughest days in your life. It's hard. Your mother was horrible, or your mother has passed away, or you just didn't have that relationship with your mom at all. I recognize that. But it doesn't take away the fact that there are ladies in your life who has had great influence on you. And so we're going to look in Scripture in a couple of different passages to see what that looks like and how it plays out, and then we'll be done. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to be predominantly, and then we'll flip over to 1 Samuel. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to Timothy, as Paul always did. In fact, you can't really find any other letters that weren't necessarily written specifically to one person except for Philemon. Like, this is written specifically to Timothy for a specific reason, because Paul is imparting wisdom, he's mentoring this kid and trying to bring him along and encourage him in the faith. And so here's part of the letter at the beginning. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. That is a sermon in and of itself. Do we serve God with pure consciences? Is that there? As my forefathers did. So again, this is what Mother's Day was. Notice what Paul says. He's like, look, man, I had a great legacy before me, whether it was my father or Abraham or our spiritual forefathers that did great work, and I'm living life because of how they lived it.
figure it out on their own. We have to set the pace. How do we do that? Active faith. We have to live this faith out actively in order to be an influence on our impeccable lives.
That's a sermon within a sermon, isn't it?
So he says, all my forefathers, I will often remember you in my prayers, night and day. Paul is constantly praying for his friends, constantly praying for his people, constantly praying for Timothy. He says, greatly desiring to see you. There is a relationship bond here that you really don't find pretty much anywhere else in Scripture. It's almost like a father-son bond here. Paul has attached himself to Timothy. Timothy has attached himself to Paul for whatever reason, but they are just grieving in the right way. And Paul is constantly pouring his life into this young man. But there is great promise and great potential in his life. And so he says, I want to be around you. I want to hang out with you, but there's a lot of other things I need to be doing, but man, just know my heart wants to be right here. And then notice what he says. He says, being mindful of your teaching. Now, I first thought that maybe it was referring to the idea that maybe this is overwhelming to Timothy, that it was scary for Timothy because of the verse 7 that we're going to look at in a moment and talk about God. When he left Paul, he was brokenhearted because he enjoyed the company of Paul and learning under Paul. What happens when friends leave? We cry, we get emotional, we get sad. That is what Paul is referring to there. He says that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. I love that. Listen, I think about my two friends down in Memphis, Tennessee, Morgan and Jerry. And I had a great opportunity to be a small portion of their life, a small part of their life when they were in my youth group in Alabama. And to see where they are now, man, it encourages my heart so much to see where they're at, to see how great they're doing, how they're still serving God, like beyond what I could have ever imagined. It is encouraging to me. It's encouraging to us to see people that we have an impact on, to watch them continue to pray. And Paul's no different. He says, Timothy, when I think about the faith that is in you, dude, I just overwhelmingly get taken over by just encouragement. I just love what I see. I think it's fantastic. So not only am I moved by the connection that we have, but I'm moved over the faith that you've given as a young man. That's good. That's what we want to be said of us. We want people to look back and say, wow, well, look at them. Look how good they're doing. Not for a pat on our back, not for a notch in our belt, but to say that our faith is being lived out in such a way that people notice.
Can that be said about you at work? Can that be said about you at home? Can that be said of you just in the general public? Do people know that you are a believer by how you live your life? Active faith. Influential faith. We must be active in our faith. And so Paul said to Timothy, dude, listen, I'm so proud of you. I love what I see. I am encouraged to drive you and give me fuel for my fire to keep going because I see a young man out here. If this is not dying, you're going to be becoming even more alive and you'll be able to carry the torch when I'm done. So, first and foremost, faith should be the Bible. I know for some of you, you're not very public people. You don't want to be out in the open. You'd better be a wallflower or sit in the corner and nobody will see you. But the reality is people are watching you all the time. They see how you walk in the church. They see how you lead church. They see how you interact with each other. They see how you interact with drivers around you. They see how you interact in Walmart with the annoying parents that won't discipline their child in front of you, screaming and grabbing everything off the aisle. You just right? They see how you react. Whether you want to acknowledge that you are being watched or not, the truth of the matter is people are always around us and they know. And they should know. But they should know about how we love one another. I think somebody recently said that
help us do what we're supposed to do. It should be an act of faith, and it should be seen by others. So why? Why should it be seen by others? Again, why can't this group of people gather in church, do our little church thing, go out, that way nobody knows, nobody's bothering us, nobody's protesting anything that we're doing, nobody's persecuting us. We can just kind of live quiet little Christian life, and when we die, we just go to heaven and it's all good. Why can't we just be like that? Because that's not what it was designed for. We are the motor vehicle by which God uses to get his word out. The change, the life that has happened within you is exactly what God wants to do to influence people around you. And so, it goes back to the whole idea. It's not just praying the prayer when you're good. It's praying the prayer and allowing God to change your life. Why? Because people are watching. Because you can have influence on what God is doing in your heart and in your life. Here are a couple of answers. Paul says, listen, I'm encouraged by your faith. And your faith is there, not because of me, not because I spent time with you. It was already there. I'm so impressed by why was it already there? Because your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Because the two most influential ladies in your life modeled it for you. They pushed you. They challenged you. They disciplined you. They encouraged you. They loved you. And they lived this thing out in front of you. They were active in their faith. And they were so active in their faith that it had an influence and changed your life. And it is evident that now I watch it and see it all the time. What an influential portion. His dad is not mentioned. His grandfather is not mentioned. In fact, they weren't even mentioned back in Acts when Luke talked about them. He mentioned his grandmother and mother again. Don't tell me mothers aren't important. Don't tell me grandmothers aren't important. Don't tell me, ladies, that you don't have probably the most important role in our universe. Your faith is so paramount. No pressure. But your faith can influence your children. Blown away by it. And he says, Timothy, listen, you and I have hung out a lot. We've talked a lot. I love where you're going with this, but I just want you to know your faith is not because you and I hang out. I have seen your faith because I know the parents that you come from and the grandparents that you have. That's where your faith is coming from. That's the strength of which you are taking. Why is that? Because their faith was active. Faith, and to me, this is probably the most important point, at least as we see. The faith can be influenced by those before you. Your faith can be strengthened by those before you. My faith was strengthened because my grandparents started the church in their home. I wasn't there, but I was told the stories. That's encouraging to me. My dad was a deacon and served faithfully for years. My parents worked in youth ministry. My mom was a teacher forever. They kept me in church. At first, it was because they just said they're going, but then because of their love for church and my growing love for church and once I got connected to the youth group, they never ever had to ask me or beg me to go to church again. Why? Because the youth group was amazing? That's part of it. But it's because of their continuing faith to do what was right, even in the midst of a nasty church trip. Their faith was not about the church, their faith was about Christ. And because of that, it encourages me, it allows me to do what I do today. If they can do it, it's okay. And so, parents, grandparents, the job is never over. Your responsibility is to live this awful faith in front of your children and in your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Why? Because you can have influence on them. And kids, listen, I know your parents aren't as smart as you think they are. No, they did not come out right. You think your parents aren't very smart, but I'm telling you, they are far smarter than you think they are. That's what you should listen to your parents, even when you don't want to, even when they are aggravating you, even when it's what you don't want. Spoiled little job of his enemy through the laying on of my hands. So Paul's going to come to him and he says, listen, I'm going to lay my hands on you and pray over you because I want the special gifts that are in you to be unlocked because of the faith that is going on inside of you. There is something about our faith that unlocks the spiritual gifts. As our faith grows, the spiritual gifts that are built already within us begin to unlock and unfold. And I firmly believe that gifts are different for all of us. There's all kinds of different gifts, but they come when God knows that we are ready. And we are ready when we are actively living out our faith in front of others, trying to be the influence that God has created us to be. Now, your gift may not be my gift, and my gift may not be your gift, and that's okay. It doesn't make you better or worse. It just means that God wants to use you right where you're at, doing what He has created you to do. That's what this is all about. Our faith unlocks spiritual gifts. That's how all of this works. As our faith grows, these gifts begin to unlock and blossom and to be everything that it needs to be. Now, for some of you, that might scare you, because you're quite happy just coming in, sitting in your little chair, praying a little prayer, singing a little song, hearing the message, amen, and walking out. Can I just encourage you with something real good? You are missing out on so much. You are getting what you're getting, and it's great, and it's great to be, and I'll fall back and tell you there's so much more that you can unlock. But it depends on you. How serious are you going to live this with that? How committed are you to hearing and doing what God is telling you or asking you or encouraging you to do? Because our faith absolutely unlocks spiritual gifts. But now here's where it gets interesting. Because Paul ends this little section of the letter. He goes on, there's a lot more to this letter, but here's what he says. In 2 Timothy 1:7, says that, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Now, I think it's interesting that he's talking about how impressive Timothy's faith is. He's talking about the influence of his grandmother and his mother in his faith. And then he talks about how, listen, there's some cool stuff that can happen when your faith is activated and it begins to unlock the spiritual gift. I want to be a part of that. And then he hits him with this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, why would he say that?
I know why. Because it's scary to get up here on a Sunday morning and talk to you for 30, 40 minutes. It's scary the weight and responsibility that I have on Sunday morning to preach the truth accurately and efficiently. That causes me to be fearful sometimes. Now, I know y'all are saying, oh, you shouldn't be fearful. But that's fine. Okay, you can try it. Tell me how easy it is, how I only work one day a week on Sunday. It makes me fearful. And so I'm thinking probably what's happening is Timothy as a young man is filled with rage and the burden of what's coming. He's hearing all these things that Paul is doing and all the persecution that Paul's experiencing and the reading these letters and the challenge that Paul's throwing out of him. And it could be that maybe as a young man, the faith is there, but the realism of his own mind is there as well. And Paul knows that. He remembers, and he says, listen, Timothy, you don't have to be scared. God did not give us a spirit of fear. That is not from God. That is from somewhere else. So here's what he did give us. But it's power. Timothy, you have power through your faith. Not that it's you. With the spirit of God that lives within you, when you live after faith, there is a feeling of power that you can use to accomplish what you know you can't do on your own. It is a powerful feeling. It is a powerful experience. It is need to feel the power of God in your life when you are actively living out your faith, knowing that on your own you fail miserably. So that fear can be defeated because of the power of the spirit that lives within me. Then he says, and of love. You don't have to be fearful. You can just love people. knowledge. We can be clear in this life. We don't have to be assumed that we're just crazy people living on some crust named God. Because that's popular thinking. But we can live outside of fear and power and love. And have a sound mind. We can do this thing accurately and efficiently. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives within us. So our faith can overcome fear. So not only can faith supersede anxiety, but it should be influenced by those gone on before us, and it unlocks these spiritual gifts, but most importantly, faith can overcome fear. Now, if I were to ask you, are you generally fearful, or do you just go on about life? Most of us have something that we're a little fearful about, if we're honest. Most of us fear something. Let me tell you this morning, you don't have to fear. Don't have to. Faith in a holy God who sent his son to die a cruel, nasty death, to be buried and rise again, that's the same God that lives within you that can defeat anything. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. I found this story to be interesting when I was reading it. You got Hannah and Elkanah, the mother and the husband. They had been praying for children for years. And finally, she went to the temple every year she's praying the same prayer of God, give me a child, give me a child, give me a child. And she finally prays, God, you give me a child, my son, so I'll give him back. So they go home, she has a child, she names him Samuel, and after she takes some time to kind of get him of age a little bit, she takes him back to the temple and leaves him, her firstborn, that she's been praying for years. Because of her faith and her commitment to God, I am the woman who stood for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, and which I asked of him before. I also have lent him to the Lord. I'm leading him here to serve God. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord, shall be worshiped to the Lord there. Now let me tell you something. That's big faith.
Now, for some of you, you'd be like, I want to leave my kid here, please. Yes. Right?
That's not normal, just so you know. We judge y'all for that. But then, that was okay. There was something about the moving of the Spirit and her faith that allowed her to have the confidence in God. Was she fearful? I don't know. I doubt it. I think she trusted God so much. That she stood by her word and she trusted God and left her family. Samuel, this is a couple of verses away, 18 and 19, chapter 2. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child. So he got a young kid working with Eli, the priest, and he was doing it. Like he's wearing a little ephod, doing a little thing. He's like a little mini priest walking down the line. He's kind of cool. But he's doing this thing. So even as a child wearing a linen ephod, moreover, watch this, his mother used to make him a linen robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, I don't know if they visited in any other time, but every year when they would come to do the yearly sacrifice, she would take it all year long to make him a new robe, and she would bring it to him.
What a mom.
I just think that is for a mother to leave her child at a church working for God and to continually come back with the same resolve, you're staying here, I'm going to make sure you stay here because I need you to be there.
Love father. I know she's coming. I can't wait to see her. I know my mom's coming. We're trusting in someone else paying our burden, and we're trusting in something that doesn't normally happen, something raising from the dead. We're placing our faith and trust in that. But this could be lived out continuously. Don't you know for 1 second how important it was for Samuel to see his mother continuing to exercise her faith and trust in the promise that God had given her and to the answer of her prayer, to watch her year after year after year, to walk to the temple carrying that robe, exercising this faith, knowing that her God is still watching after her little boy. That is huge. You may think, I can skip a couple of Sundays. I don't have to go every Sunday. What if someone is watching to see your every Saturday night, I'm just going to do what I want to do because I've got to take them on and have some today to do. What if someone is watching your they're still wanting to know, are you living this out continuously? Are you exercising your faith on purpose intentionally every day of your life? Why is that important? Because people will be influenced by how you live this faith out. This mother, year after year, went to see her boy. I wonder, just standing here thinking about this, because I have confidence in the back of my head all the time when I'm thinking to you. I wonder what the conversation was from the time that she had him until the time that she took him to drop him off. Because she didn't go back to the temple anytime soon. She stayed home until he was ready. I wonder what she thought him. I wonder what she said to him. I wonder how many times she cried and wept over knowing what she was going to do. And I wonder how many times she rejoiced in knowing that God had heard her prayer, answered it, and seen it as an opportunity to keep her word to a holy God. The joy she must have felt when she left her home knowing she'd get her secret son. The joy knowing that she was going to exercise her faith and God was going to continue to be consistent. That God was going to continue to honor her by taking care of her son. That is what a mother is called to do. They are called to train their child up and to let them go in the nurturing of the community. For moms, that is hard for us. To let your kids go. But that's what you are called to do. You are called to raise them up in the nurturing of the Lord. To let them go under his watch and care. And that's hard. But can I make it easy, a little easier for you today?
addressing not talking about the California law of making the Bible illegal. So I had two fact checkers come to me after the second service and say, that's not entirely true. So I spent study afternoon going back and doing my own research, and it's not entirely true. But here's how it works. So what they are doing is that, you remember our law that they were trying to pass about the whole transgender thing? That's kind of what's happening there, and it revolves around the counseling. They're trying to make it illegal for any kind of outside support to be bought or paid for to influence them to go in any other direction than the direction they want to go. So the reason that the lawmaker was saying that it affected the Bible is that will affect any kind of or being gay, any kind of book or stuff like that that can be bought and made a profit off of will become illegal. So at some point, the argument could be made that, yes, the Bible does do that and can be bought and made a profit off of, and so because it speaks against being gay. So doesn't specifically say that the Bible was made illegal. It was something that was made by the lawmakers that were put out on fake news. And so, there you go. I just wanted to make that correction, just so everybody's on the same page. But seriously, doesn't really change a whole lot for me. We still need to be praying because the attack is on. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Happy Mother's Day.